Hello, everyone, and welcome to TechStart Live. I'm Larry Williams, the President and CEO of TAG, the Technology Association of Georgia, and I'm pleased to bring to you a very special edition of this weekly podcast featuring our technology community's best and brightest leaders. This podcast is all about showcasing what makes Georgia the number one place to do business, and we all know that technology and innovation drives our economy. We're bringing to you the stories of how our technology community and our remarkable TAG members are coming together to manage, to solve, and cure the current public health crisis. Well, today, I'm very honored to be joined by Jeff Arnold. Jeff Arnold is Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of ShareCare, a digital health company he founded with Dr. Oz to help each person, no matter where they are in their health journey, build a longer, better life by enabling health transformation at the individual, organization, and the community level. ShareCare is playing a pivotal role in COVID-19 response, and we are honored to have Jeff join us today and tell us more about that response. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, Larry. Great to be here. Hope you're doing well.
Doing great. Well, why don't you just tell us a little bit about ShareCare and how you've quickly pivoted to respond to COVID-19?
Sure. So we started ShareCare, back in 2012. And at the time, we had sold a company called HowStuffWorks to Discovery Channel. And I was working at Discovery Channel, and I got introduced to Dr. Oz. And we started brainstorming about if you could do WebMD over a decade later, how would you do it? And, I started thinking that WebMD was all about consumer-driven healthcare at that time, providing access to information for people. And when we were thinking in the 2010-12 timeframe that all of a sudden now people had smartphones and potentially those smartphones could be amazing healing devices. And what if we could give data ownership to the person in the palm of their hand and start to connect stakeholders? So instead of the person having to go to the hospital's website as a patient or having to download the insurance company's app or have to use their employer's onboarding portal during open enrollment, what if we could bring all those stakeholders back to them? And as we started to build that, we had this epiphany that there's really a higher ledge than consumer-driven healthcare, and that's community-driven care, meaning that as a consumer, I need my doctor and I need my benefits and I need a safe place to live, work, and play. So over the last 6-7 years or so, we've gone out and we've made 15 acquisitions to try to build that ecosystem, all the pieces necessary to manage your total health and wellness, so the person was fully empowered. And we've tried to do that in a way that as I empower the person and their neighbor gets empowered, that we start to generate community-driven care. So when the COVID-19 pandemic hit, we were already about being better together. And even our hashtag was We Care. And we were trying to think that, how do we use technology in kind of these challenging times and kind of deploy all the assets that we've acquired over the years so that we could help people manage through this situation and then kind of post COVID-19 continue to help people with their overall health.
Well, that's great. Well, you've built a wonderful platform. And so you've even built into it as a bit of a hub, a health hub. How is that really? So if we think about community-based healthcare, how that extends out, COVID-19 is clearly a community-based crisis that we're reaching out and we're making sure that the community responds. So tell us about the hub and how that intersects and really helps us amplify this community-based healthcare.
Sure. So I put up I made a couple slides here. You, as a tech company, you would expect that we weren't going to come to the party slideless. So I thought we might talk on some different topics. So before I get into COVID-19 in particular, I thought I might take a step back and just explain to you what we mean by community-driven care.
Okay.
And so for us, it all starts about well-being and how do you define well-being, because often that's kind of a vague term. So we've spent tens of millions of dollars over the years, initially with Gallup, trying to understand that the way a community should define well-being is through these five domains. Are you financially resilient? What's your sense of purpose, your sense of community? Are you physically resilient? And what does your social self look like? And have been able to create the largest data warehouse of 3 million surveys from individuals. And what we do with those surveys is we rank order states and cities. So for example, Georgia ranks 23rd out of 50 states in well-being, and the city of Atlanta ranks 81. And we were able to gather that data through the ShareCare platform. So when people sign up for ShareCare, now we've had 48 million people do this, is they start by taking the real age test. And the real age test tells you what your body age is, not your calendar age. And you might have noticed Dr. Birx last week, if you happen to be tuning in at the White House briefing, where somebody asked her, who's at most risk? And she said, it's not your numeric age, it's your physiological age. So that's real age. And so we use the real age test to acquire this well-being data. And then what we try to do with that well-being data when we look at communities is we try to help people understand what's the circumstance that defines their years, meaning what's the social determinants of health in their environment around them, what's the quality of their years, and what's the longevity of their years. And then we work with CEOs and elected officials, and we try to take that data and put it into the right indexes so people have a real good understanding of who's most vulnerable. What does access to healthcare look like? How should we be thinking about neighborhood and built environments, you know, in these different areas? And then the way we drive return on investment is as these millions of people come in and we collect this data and we put it into context and we build these indexes, the way we build ROI models is by looking at these proven outcomes. And what I'm finding by taking this community approach, which has been different than how I've done it in the past, is really starting to look beyond just health outcomes, but, you know, how philanthropic are people? Are people volunteering? Are they voting? Are housing prices going up or going down? And it's amazing to think that what I always thought was all about just your physical health is it's much bigger than that. It's not just your physical health. It's your financial health. It's your mental health. It's your sense of purpose and these other elements. And so so it's been, you know, I'd say for me, 20-something years of work of just realizing that, you know, technology can be such a great enabler, but to build compliance, you have to have trust. And to have trust, it's better to go beyond yourself and look at your neighbors and your families and try to get that group transformation. And then being able to measure it in data in ways that we've never been able to measure it before, so that CEOs of health plans or large employers or health systems or government officials can kind of get on that same bandwagon. And maybe I'll stop and ask, you know, kind of your thoughts. Like when you think of community-driven care, you know, being a technology leader, you know, how do you think about that?
Well, I do think about the community approach as something that really brings us together, because it really is, I've always believed that we're all connected in a certain way as human beings. And so if we think about that connection, that and things that we've known, our employees, ourselves, we need to be taking care of ourselves more holistically. And I'll give you an example. I've often told my employees that if they're not taking advantage of their health care that we provide as an employer, one, they're leaving money on the table because they're not taking advantage of that investment the company's made. And I've also, and I believe this for myself and for others, is that number one, if I don't take care of myself, I can't take care of my family. I can't do my job. I can't provide my employees. I can't be a good leader, and nor can I engage in the community. So I think about it. I think in the way that you want people to think about it. And I think that you take it a whole step further about there are even greater tentacles into the community that we all have and that we all should have. Because I love the way, because it is about, you know, financial. I always think that, you know, a good job should be financial, which should also be fun. You know, there should be, you know, some interaction that really happens there. But I love the way that you said, you know, you've even looked into, are people voting? Are they part of this community? Yeah. Are they practicing their rights? So I think it's an incredible platform that brings it together. And Jeff, I remember, it seems like it was over a year ago, but I'm not sure, whenever you worked with the governor of Georgia to launch this. At least in the state of Georgia, and to really start to think about the tentacles that we put out in the community Have you seen the effect? Yeah. People have been signing up and, you know,
yeah.
What kind of results are you seeing?
Yeah, well, we take pride that we're 2,600 employees strong and headquartered here in Atlanta. And I always like look at like the film industry, and, you know, at the end of the, when you watch on television and you see one of the Georgia films or shows right. end, and it has the peach and it says made in Georgia, is we've really are trying to do that for well-being as well. Like, you know, what does it mean to be made in Georgia? And we're seeing amazing results of people signing up. And I've got a couple slides I'm going to talk to you about some of those Georgia results. But back to your other point about, you know, how does all this make somebody feel? And kind of the importance of storytelling. And where I've been getting a lot of inspiration recently is kind of looking at Netflix. And thinking if ShareCare was Netflix, not that I'm trying to get you to watch television shows, but just the thinking of Netflix is what if my back end looked that way to story tell about somebody's health? And what would be the story that I was trying to tell? So it kind of starts off and says, for you or anybody listening, you know, what's your baseline? So for us, that's your real age. What's your real time? And so for us, that's your green day. So every day you're trying to earn green days, whether it's sleep or stress or now washing your hands. And then lastly, what's your journey? And is the journey data driven and is it evidence-based for you? And so to do that, you know, in a Netflix flavor is what's the framework that comes with that? So I want you to know your numbers, your cholesterol or needing to have a colonoscopy. I want you to reduce risk. So if you need to sleep more or stop smoking or lose weight. I want you to manage your conditions. And how do you have the capabilities to help someone who's diabetic or pre-diabetic? I want you to close gaps in care, because I know if you take those measures, you'll be thankful you did down the road. I want you to understand your benefits to your earlier point, and how do you access the healthcare system? And I want you to understand the role of money. And it's almost like creating like an autobiography of health for you that's data-driven, that the next chapter even, that close, hasn't even been written yet. I mean, we have some filler information, but, you know, it can kind of be changed. And you think about a Netflix from that lens of a real-time baseline and journey, and you say, well, how could I create that storytelling mechanism? And you say, well, I need to have the right ID system. So I need to know your lifestyle and your medical history. I need to have the right capabilities. So if I'm going to provide those screening capabilities and disease management capabilities and financial tools, but most importantly, I need to know your behaviors. So what really motivates you? Are you motivated by convenience? Are you motivated by cost? Are you motivated by accountability? Are you motivated by fear? And then be able to turn those into activities that don't feel like an activity that help you in this journey make the healthy choice the easy choice. And so we're just moving, like I really believe, like, and we're seeing this happening right in front of our very eyes, is like we're going to go in digital health from blockbusters to Netflix, not in the decades that transformation took to happen in entertainment, but in the weeks of this pandemic. And so it's very, really exciting times.
So you're really talking about no longer having to go into a health provider, but really all of that data being right there in your palm of your hand through your mobile device, being able to understand that holistic view and being able to take action on it. Because I love the way that you're presenting this as a story, that the next chapter hasn't necessarily been written. If you have a chronic disease, there are ways to manage it, but you have to manage it in a proactive way. If it is about weight loss, which is, you know, I think Dr. Oz tells us that's one of the biggest drivers of things, you can manage your weight and you can go ahead and start to write that next chapter yourself.
Yeah. Can I show you a couple slides and get your reaction?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, so let's see how I can. Okay. So one of the things that we're doing, you asked me about Georgia, that is one of the areas that I'm most excited about for this year, is that I mentioned in the previous slide that we're measuring well-being, right? So I'm collecting data from the platform. And I'm organized it around the five domains of well-being: physical, financial, social, community, and social. And we are going to launch this year 50 state websites. So it'll be GeorgiaWellbeing.com, NorthCarolinaWellbeing.com, FloridaWellbeing.com, where we're going to make available almost like a zeitgeist or what you've seen in past elections, where all our data sits at the state level. organized around the five domains in the state of Georgia, where the average consumer or any TAG member will be able to go in and see what the well-being is of their particular county. That's some very, very granular data. And then we're starting to work with all the different universities and public health officials and other thought leaders in the state to say, now that you have access to this kind of real-time pulse of Georgia, help us understand the insights that come from that so we can make better decisions as individuals and it can help inform policy. So from where it started with the governor, where the governor enrolled their 650,000 state health benefit plan members into ShareCare, that effort has now led to, let's create a dashboard for the state so anybody anywhere will know real time what our well-being looks like, and hopefully we can make the healthier choice the easier choice because of that.
Okay, this is great.
And maybe I'll stop there. And so like being like for somebody from TAG, like kind of, looking at the state and knowing the goals that we have here in Georgia and Atlanta to be kind of the global health capital of the world. I'm sure you probably lean where I lean that it has to be data driven, it has to be consumer driven, but it has to be a collaborative. So, how do you bring all the stakeholders together? And I know you've done an amazing job, working at TAG doing that, getting all of us together. How do we do it across the state and the nation and eventually globally for healthcare?
Well, that is the question. And so it looks like you're doing some great outreach. And so when I think about centers of global health in the United States, I really do think of, I think of DC and Seattle and obviously Atlanta because of the CDC. So what are your steps that you're taking? You're pulling together the ecosystem. You've got the universities involved. But this really is about the global outreach. So how are you making that connectivity?
Yeah. Well, in this, kind of in the spirit of community-driven care, what I found is that it really takes scale, is that nobody has time for the small idea. And a lot of our enterprise customers have vendor fatigue. So trying to piece together point solutions is difficult. I find with consumers that they're kind of have too many apps. So they're kind of dealing with the sea of apps. So what we've focused really hard on is, how do we get government to work with us? So Georgia, Alabama, Ohio, City of Chicago. How do we get big health plans like Blue Cross Blue Shield of Maryland and Pennsylvania and Minnesota and others? How do we get large employers like Walmarts or the State Farms? How do we get health systems to view ShareCare as being ShareCare enabled where people can share their data with them? And then how do we also go straight to the individual and say it's not right that the only way you can access what we hope is going to be a path for the future of healthcare is if somebody buys it for you. So it's having, kind of this idea that all your health needs to be in one place and then build it for the individual, give them the data ownership, encourage them to go from episodic to everyday. But where you really get the magic is when we start to understand as an ecosystem how to productize engagement. So how does the doctor, the health plan, and the employer and government message you as it relates to your well-being, motivate you, manage your data, measure effectiveness, and create a movement? And so we call that the five M's to the ecosystem. And we believe the technology is there to do it. It's just us getting out of our own ways and saying, look, it's not about my patient portal or about my insurance app or about my this or that. It's about all of us coming together using data in an evidence-based way to do no harm, to inspire the person to live their healthiest life. And we're making progress there. I mean, those walls are coming down and COVID-19 is really accelerating that. And I'm going to talk to you in a minute about some things we're doing in telemedicine, but things that even a month ago, I didn't think were possible, just watching the slow adoption of telemedicine, to how fast that's changing. So leaving my home today to come to the office briefly for this and seeing my kids doing their school online, to seeing my wife doing a yoga class online, to now you and I talking like this online.
Right.
It's the new normal.
It is the new normal. And so, talk about some of those obstacles that have been in place historically about sharing of data. Sometimes it's proprietary, some people it's turf, but it's also a highly regulated industry as well. So how do you manage the regulatory side? And then if we think about the global connectivity, you're talking about a lot of regulation. So how are you managing through all that?
I think everybody's just frustrated with not being in control of their data. Let's see if I can move the slide while we're talking. I think everybody's frustrated with not being in control of their data. I mean, if I change my bank, my money goes with me. If I change my doctor, or if I change my health plan, or if I change my job, the thought that my health information stays behind is silly. The idea that we went through this big meaningful use era several years ago where people were incented, doctor's offices, to go from paper to electronic. And when that transformation happened, that the data wasn't interoperable is insane, that the people can't access that. And then you start to look at veterans and others where it's taken 3+ weeks to get their data. And so I think those walls are coming down around us very fast. And you've seen all the laws that have been lifted around HIPAA and other things recently with COVID-19. But people are going to demand interoperability. They're going to demand easy to understand user experiences, and they're going to demand affordability. And it's happening. And I think we're going to see more progress in the next 2 years than we've seen in the last 20. I think the organizations that are going to win here, and when I say win, be able to provide what their mission is all about, which is generally helping others, are going to be the organizations that can start to realize that you have to be fluent in 3 languages in kind of this consumer-driven world as it relates to health. So you're going to have to be fluent in healthcare, right? So obviously kind of do no harm, and what's an ICD-10 code, and what's Epic, and what's Cerner, all the technologies that enable the ecosystem. You're going to have to be fluent in technology. So, you know, all of a sudden the CTO is going to be sitting next to the CEO, who's often a physician inside of these health systems, because the technology, whether it's artificial intelligence or machine learning or conversational AI, is coming, and you're going to have to be fluent in media. So how do we story tell through this data? And these are some of the examples of all the different platforms that we've been pushing out COVID-19 space in an evidence-based way. So that's one, and maybe I'll pause there for a second, but, you know, just like, you know, in your world, I mean, think about the combination of tech, right? So now I'm saying it's technology, but it's also healthcare, and it's also media, all becoming one.
Right.
You know, so if you're running a health system, or you're running a health plan, or you're running benefits for a Fortune 100 company, and you're trying to figure out, you know, how am I going to deal with these healthcare costs, or how am I going to deal with these access issues, or how am I going to deal with people being compliant or getting the right medications? You're going to have to know how to talk to them the right way, and you're going to have to know how to talk to the right healthcare systems, and all these things coming together in a way that's affordable. I think it's going to happen as fast as you know, we went from where banking was 10 years ago to where it is today.
Well, in all throughout our technology world, we're seeing the convergence of technologies, and most of it's around mobile. I mean, that really is that intersection of where, you know, it meets the person, it meets the consumer, the user, you know, where's the point of sale. All of these things come together very quickly, and it does empower the individual. So whether it be, you mentioned sort of the Netflix, obviously the way that we consume entertainment today is all about how we see it on a screen today, whether it be on a big screen or a little screen. But it's also getting to the point that you don't know, you know, sometimes you don't know where the, you know, the video game ends and the, you know, right, and the real live movie, you know, starts. You're right, utilizing a lot of technology, even in, you mentioned AI, but also in virtual reality and augmented reality as well, I believe. So how is that becoming a part of that whole landscape?
Well, I'm a big believer in visual health. And so, you know, what are the steps to get to visual health, where if a picture can say, 1,000 words or 100 words, whatever the saying is, what could virtual reality tell a person? So we've invested a lot of money building out kind of the Google Maps of the human body. So what is every organ and every disease and every therapy, and how do I take your data to give you a picture of you and then show you where you're trending based on your real age? And so we've got a big group of folks down in Florida that have been building that for us for the last several years, and we use it in bits and pieces. In the short term, as it relates to visual health, you know, I've also realized that, how stressed people are. And I often say that the new diabetes is financial stress. So people are worried that they can't pay their bills. They're worried about retirement, about college, about mortgages. And so we acquired a company that streams 2.3 million minutes a day on Amazon Prime, and we call it ShareCare Windows. And we just launched in Delta, not the perfect timing, but we just launched in Delta, where if you're sitting in the Delta screen, you'll see our ambient content streaming through Delta and through Amazon. But it's this amazing relaxation content that kind of helps people unwind, which is another, kind of example of, visual health. But I think it's very important, for education, for relaxation, and just helping people better understand themselves.
So let's talk about how the extension of this can work. Obviously, we're experiencing a crisis in rural healthcare. Being able to put this online can extend the reach of healthcare and people's access. How do you see that transforming our ability to deliver good healthcare throughout the rural areas as well?
Well, I think rural Georgia is very important, and we announced a partnership with Walmart recently when they opened up their health center. But, you think about, there's 215 Walmarts in the state of Georgia. And so the ability to be able to provide access to care and affordable care, I think, is going to be a game changer. But maybe I can answer this question through the lens of COVID-19, because I wanted to talk to you a little bit about kind of what our rapid response has been and how digital technologies work in Buckhead as the same way they work in rural Georgia. And so when COVID-19 hit, it gave real focus for us at ShareCare, because we had been assembling all these different assets. And, we've got 220 people in Brazil and people in France and Australia and others. And we were really able to come together and rally as a company and say, how do we take this platform and laser focus it to this pandemic? So it started with, is we said, a lot of people are confused about the information they're getting, whether it's CNN or Fox or MSNBC or BuzzFeed or whatever it may be. We were finding in our research that people were looking for just an unbiased source to provide content. So we turned our editorial group into a news desk and said, I want you to look through all the breaking news and all the solutions through the lens of well-being. So when the stock market's tanking, I want you to talk about it in relationship to financial health. Or when we can't vote because we've shut down the primaries, I want you to talk about that through the lens of community. So that was kind of the first wave. Then the second wave we came to is, okay, now we have to provide solutions and we need to get more data. So we have this product called AskMD, which we acquired from a company that the Department of Defense had put $50 million in, which you go to and you give it your chief complaint, I have a cough, and then we ask you questions, and we are doing pattern recognition against the peer literature to give you a likely cause in less than 3 minutes. And then we put the COVID-19 screener lens on that. So whether you had a fever, if you were a child, or if you had diarrhea, if you had cough pain, how could we help people understand, are they at high risk, medium risk, or low risk for COVID-19? And so, put our medical informatics team in place, and we knocked that out and launched it on Friday. And then a big announcement that I wanted to preview with you guys today, because back to kind of the Made in Georgia, I think it's important, is one of the great things about AskMD is once I know your likely cause, I can triage you and say, you should go to the emergency room, or you should schedule a doctor's appointment, or you should do telehealth. And in the spirit of kind of going from Blockbusters to Netflix, we thought, we've always wanted to launch a telehealth platform for doctors in the spirit of being ShareCare enabled. So the same way you see an open table sticker on a restaurant, you can book a reservation. We wanted that ShareCare logo to tell a person that they could share their data with their doctor, or their doctor could do a telehealth visit. And so on Wednesday of this week, we're going to launch a HIPAA compliant, fully secure telemedicine suite, and we're going to make it available for free to all doctors, pharmacists, and mental health workers in the United States. And so this is something that, we were going to launch, in Q4. as part of being a ShareCare enabled doctor that our team kind of came together, and it's going to go this Wednesday for free to all providers.
Okay. Which
we're real excited about. And then over the weekend, you know, I was talking to Dr. Oz, and I guess this was two weekends ago, and he said, you know, ShareCare, myself, and all these other media outlets are putting out all this knowledge. But wouldn't it be great if we could get into people's homes and really understand how COVID-19 is affecting them? And so Sunday, we launched a flattening the curve survey, and we did it in conjunction with a gentleman I have a great admiration for, who's the Dean of Public Health at Boston University, Dr. Sandro Galeo. And we've already had thousands of people take it in the state of Georgia, and just kind of being in our friends and family. And then this is going to go out globally later in the week. But I'll highlight a couple of the responses for you. So just in the last 48 hours, just through friends and family, just our employees and their friends, you know, we've seen 7,000 people lean in to how COVID-19 is affecting them, and we're finding are getting confirmation on many things we thought, but always interesting to see in the data, is that 90% of the people are worried, 65% of the people are concerned about their 401ks. You know, people are worried about being able to pay their bills. We're starting to see, just even in today, there's an uptick on people, their ability to go to work, as the president last night, you know, extended the, the guidelines to April 30th. But this is something, if you go back for, I encourage, you know, all TAG members to take it. I think it does a really good job of, if you've taken any of these other surveys, you know, kind of looking at the, all those five domains, or about your financial and physical and your communities and others. So that's driving data. And then what we'll launch this weekend is a tracker. And so Dr. Oz came to us and said, you know, there's a Telluride in Colorado is thinking about doing isolating themselves and quarantining themselves. And we need a way to collect the data. And so we need the ability for people inside the ShareCare platform to be able to track when they started to quarantine themselves or social distance themselves, and more importantly, track those symptoms. And so the UK launched a version of this, I think it was Monday, it's today, Monday, and 3% of the population downloaded it in 24 hours. You know, just, you know, incredible. And then lastly, this week, in the spirit of sharing care, we're going to do a hackathon with University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, where we're giving access to all our de-identified data. So all the RelAge data, community well-being data, survey data, COVID case data. And then the students have first shots at looking at the data through the counties in North Carolina to look for key insights and predict where problems might occur next. And then next week is a faculty, is where the faculty is going to do their hackathon. And that's something that we hope to replicate over the other 49 states. And so rapid response, you know, how do you turn a editorial into a news desk? How do you help people understand that RelAge is a great predictor of how you might do with the coronavirus? How do you add tools to the Green Day? So not only tracking your sleep, but how many times you wash your hands a day, to turning AskMD into front lines of defenses, enabling doctors to do their own telemedicine, to surveying the globe to understand how this is affecting people in their homes. And then lastly, you know, figuring out that we can't do this alone. This is going to take everybody, and kind of back to community driven care. You know, we have the technology and we have the means. If we can come together and say, how do we make this interoperable? How do we make this easy to understand? How do we make this affordable? And how do we get better together? And so we've been really, really 18 hour days, and you know, trying to figure out, you know, how to help. And it's given a tremendous amount of focus to our business of this is what we're capable of doing, you know, with the assets that have been assembled and the partnerships that are in place. And but at the end of the day, if you said, what's the lightning in the bottle or what's the fuel, is the stakeholders in the community all coming together, you know, to provide data and insights.
You've done phenomenal work, Jeff. What a visionary. Love the way that you've pulled this together and you keep this rolling. So can we send out the survey when it's ready? Is that something we can help
you
with?
Yeah, definitely. I would love for you to be able to do that. I was going to ask you for that, so thank you.
Yeah, delighted to do that. And then also, as you're bringing the hackathon to each state, we'd love to partner with you on that as well. Got great universities. I think crowdsourcing through our employees and our 30,000 members to even give you greater results so that you can get that scale that you're shooting for.
Be great. That'd be fantastic.
You know, we talked about mobile and the technology. I just got to, you know, as we sort of wind down this interview, talk about this technology platform that you've built and how this evolution of technology. I like to describe Georgia as really about generations of innovation. We didn't get to be a leader in cybersecurity by declaring it yesterday. We did it because of decades of work. Same with digital health. How did this evolution, including WebMD, help this evolution of technology that allowed you to get to where you are today so that you could launch such a platform with such a global perspective that ShareCare?
I like to think that Georgia and Atlanta roots for the entrepreneur, that really embraces innovation. And, we're so fortunate as entrepreneurs to have 21 Fortune 500 companies based here, to have the CDC here, to have Georgia Tech and Medical School and Augusta and Emory and UGA, health systems like WellStar that are innovating, companies like Walmart that want to come here first with their health centers. And so you really have the perfect storm here. Right? You've got the young workforce of people coming from all over the Southeast and others that are moving here. You're also seeing that, people want to do well by doing good. And I don't think my kids, I know they won't. They're not going to put up with, the health systems that we were used to, where you had to fill out the forms multiple times and you had to wait weeks for a doctor's appointment. My daughter last week, wasn't feeling well. And so, we were concerned that maybe she had the coronavirus. And so we did a telehealth visit with an emergency room doctor. And at the end of it, after she did it, she looked at me and she's 18. She goes, Dad, you got to buy that company. That was the most incredible experience I've ever had. There's no way I would ever go to the doctor again. I was like, well, you're going to have to go to the doctor. You're going to have to go to the doctor. But I appreciate your enthusiasm because I felt the same way. I mean, she was talking to this emergency room doctor. It looked like we were watching TV. And the way that he assured her that, it didn't look like she had the COVID-19 and that she should still, isolate herself and take care of herself. But I tell you, the anxiety that she had for the 3 days was pretty intense. And then being able to have that experience in her home with that board certified physician that was able to take care of that problem in that moment, makes it, incredibly promising. And we will lead that in the state of Georgia. I know that because I'm on the front lines every day and working with people like yourself and other folks here that have made this a priority to make it happen.
Well, we're fortunate to have great visionaries like you. One of our Technology Hall of Fame inductees from a while back. So we're delighted that you're continuing to reinvest back in this community and see that you can grow great globally competitive companies right here in Georgia. But it really is, obviously I have the point of pride for Georgia, but what's impressive is the global impact that you're having. And that's what the vision is and that what's being able to really launch this platform throughout.
Yeah, I got to show you something real quick because you just made me think of something that I got to end on.
All right.
Okay. I'm getting there, hold on, sorry.
Okay.
Okay. So as I mentioned that we're going to launch these 50 state dashboards like wellbeingnorthcarolina.com, wellbeingflorida.com, wellbeingcalifornia.com. But look at the logo of the heart. So you see how it has the indention like the G. That's our, whether it's Wellbeing California or Wellbeing North Carolina, that's the symbol that was made in Georgia.
All right. So we're going to get that on the back of all the brochures like the peach for, made in Georgia on the media. We're going to put that on there. And then that's going to be our little secret that we know what that really stands for.
Yeah, but it's free tattoos for all TAG members.
So. There's going to be a lot of them that will take you up on that. So be careful for that. Awesome. Anything else we can do to help you at TAG, to help you get the word out and to accelerate this?
Yeah. You know, I call it, I don't call it, everybody calls it, but, you know, we have a problem with the FANG, which is Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. And that's that it's, you know, the FANG sucks up all the intellectual property, all the great data scientists that are out there. And, you know, it's forced us to buy companies in Berlin and other places to just try to build all these solutions. And so one is we're always looking for innovation and we're always looking for great ideas. And we have lots of ways to collaborate. We'll partner with you. We'll do whatever we have to do if it's a great idea, but we are starved for talent. And we are always looking for, great technologists that can help us change healthcare. And any way you can help us, introduce us to great minds and people that are passionate for this cause, just please reach out to us. We would love to talk to you.
So data science and analytics is the backbone of all of this. So big data, what other skills are you looking for?
Well, right now the big one's conversational AI. So what I talk a lot of internally is like the new UI is no UI. And so I, started off with the basic things, like how can I take all this data that I have and ask for it? When was the last time I had an eye exam, or, schedule me a doctor's appointment that's in network, or refill my prescription. But now what we're doing is we have a couple hundred nurses and coaches and call centers. And so we do 12 million phone calls a year to people, talking to them about their diabetes and heart disease and asthma. So we're trying to learn through those conversations of how to do conversational AI. So not just decision trees, but how do you and I talk to each other about diabetes or whatever it may be. And so I think that's very big. The other is, taking a very geospatial view on ShareCare. So I call it app to map. And so how do you build a ways for healthcare that helps people navigate their health? Kind of like a highway to health. And so, what are all those points of interest that make the healthy choice the easy choice? So that's one. And it's merging all these data sources together, location-based data, well-being data, survey data, and being able to unlock the insights. And then lastly, I'm looking for storytellers, data-driven dialogue that can help us understand, when is the right time to send the right message to the right person? And in what format are they most likely to lean in on? And so you going back to kind of the Netflix example, it's, are you a binger? Do you knock out 10 shows at once, or do you savor content and you want it kind of dosed out to you one, a little bit at a time, or do you need to watch it with others, family members and friends? And so I think that the next storytellers are going to be data-driven storytellers. And so those are other folks that we're trying to find.
Well, you brought back recollections of the discipline in neurolinguistic processing and how people react to that. So turn those into storytellers as well. Well, the one question that always comes up in all of this is security and privacy. So give you a chance to talk about that and ShareCare's approach to security and privacy for all the users.
Yeah, so it's everything because our business is built on trust. And so, when we, started moving our business into enterprise and, our sales guys are like, Jeff, we're not going to be able to go to health plans and basically say, hey, you should use the ShareCare app, and that we're going to then give all the data ownership to the person. It's because that, they felt value in owning that data. But I was like, that puts the individual not in the best situation. I think over time, people are going to demand for their data. So we should be early movers there. And we were able to do that. So the first thing on privacy and data, I always start with is how do you give person ownership of their data? So it's their data. Before I get to how am I going to protect the data? And once they have ownership of their data, how does that ownership build trust? And so it empowers them in certain ways. And then how do you start to distribute the data and in many different places that you can. So if you are hacked, it'd be hard to ever put the puzzle together. And because we deal with government, and because we deal with health plans and Medicaid and others, we're constantly going through audits and we're constantly looking for best practices to figure out, are we doing everything we can to protect this sensitive data? I worry, like probably everybody listening to this, is like, can you build those walls high enough, you know, to not be broken into? And mm-hmm. and I can just tell you, we're very committed to doing the best we can, and not only because it's the right thing to do, but we know that to change behavior with individuals, as we empower them to take care of themselves, if they don't trust the platform, then it won't work.
Jeff Arnold, Chairman and CEO of ShareCare, thank you so much for spending some time with us this afternoon. Thank you for taking us through your story and the ShareCare story and everything that you're doing to make sure that we all stay healthy and that we really extend this platform globally so that we can have the scale that we need. I appreciate your vision. I appreciate all that you're doing. And we look forward to the partnership of helping you get this word out and really extend this platform so everybody in Georgia and beyond can take advantage of it.
Yeah, well, I'd like to thank you for everything you do and all the support that you've given us through the years. And anything that we can do for TAG or yourself, we're always here. Anything we can do for the TAG community, please let us know.
Great. Thank you, Jeff. Have a wonderful day.
Take care.
Take care.